You know, Craig was talking about the celebration on Thursday night. Also, the singers and band, I don't know how many of them, but a bunch of them, some of them are already here, but a bunch of them are going to be here. I know Ray Gina is because I talked to him this morning. He said as soon as his second service is over in California, he's on the plane headed this direction. I know one song they're going to sing is they're going to sing Bloodbought Church because I already told Ray Gene we're going to do that. I don't know what else they're going to do. I saw Rich King and Christine and the family over there. He's already here for it. Be here. I don't know who else coming in. I mean it's gonna be great. Thursday night is a great day of celebration, and I tell you what. Denise has been in charge of this whole camp meeting, and then with her, she's been in charge, and just about everybody on the campus has had some part in putting this all together. How you like the stage? Isn't that neat? And the lobbies is all full of pictures. It's going to be a great time. And like Craig said, Daddy used to say it, my dad, Kenneth E. Hagin, in case you don't know who he is, he used to say it all the time, if you miss it, you're going to miss half of your life. How many of you remember him saying that? I think that was one of his favorite sayings. I find myself all the time saying things that he used to say, you know. Somebody would say something to him, you know, and he would say, you're welcome. They'd say, thank you, Brother Hagin. He'd say, you're welcome till I'm better paid. I used to say, Dad, you owe me $5. He said, son, I'd rather owe you always than beat you out of it. He had a lot of sayings that some of y'all didn't know about. And how many of you have ever felt his pinch? Oh, I see. There's Marty back there. I know he has. You know, a fourth grader had broke his leg, and they were going to celebrate his birthday, but he was on crutches. And that meant he couldn't carry his birthday cupcakes to school where they're going to have a celebration. So his mom asked their sixth grader to help his brother carry them to school. And his brother said, I could, but I'd prefer not to. Well, Dad, wanting to teach the sixth grader a lesson, asked him, well, what would Jesus do? And the sixth grader replied, Jesus would heal him so he could carry his own cupcakes. You know, the truth is we have to remind ourselves sometimes about God's word so we'll believe correctly. Some people, you know, you meet, they want to tell you the story of all their troubles, their trials, and so forth. They want you to know how bad it's been. You know, but telling others about your troubles doesn't make it any better. Today, I want to talk to you about God has destined us to win. Point to yourself and say, God has destined me to win. There's Deborah Banks over there. She's part of the singers and band. I see they got an organ up here. I guess that's up there for you, huh? Okay. For y'all that don't know about the singers and band, they were a group that traveled with myself and my dad for I don't know how many years, and there was different ones coming through the group, and Deborah was one that had been there for a while. She can make this Hammond organ, this B3 back there, she can make it sing, I can tell you that right now. You know, the world we live in is full of conflict, chaos, battles, all kinds of things. You know, people are struggling everywhere. Some of them it's financial battles, some of them it's health battles, some others it's all kinds. But do you know that we all are struggling with something all the time. Come on. Is that not correct? Somebody said, well, you're being negative. No. The reason I say that is because the Bible tells us that the devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us that he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's going to be after you all the time. We're going to deal with these struggles. We're going to deal with different things. But when we know the word, we know how to, that we're going to win before we ever get there. Okay? See, too many Christians really don't understand what Jesus provided at Calvary. I know most of the people here I'm talking to, you know this, the redemptive realities, that's where the authority of the believer comes in. Until you get a hold of redemptive realities of what Christ did for us on Calvary, you will never live the victorious life that God wants you to live, because you're destined to win when you live according to what the Word of God says. You know, God planned through Jesus for us to win in life. Right. You know, Satan is nothing more than a bully. He's already been defeated. He tries to intimidate, steal, kill, destroy. When I was in grade school, we had a guy that was a bully. And he would intimidate people and knock people down. I mean, if you stand in it, it was in sixth grade where this one happened. He was there all the time. If you had your locker getting books, he'd come by and he'd slam the door on your head. Just all kinds of stuff. Intimidating everybody. Well, one day my buddy Charles was one of these guys that he didn't hardly say anything, but when he did say something, you better listen, because he wasn't going to say it twice. Any of you guys know, have any friends or anybody that like that? So his locker right by mine, and I started to call the guy's name. He might listen. I don't know. I better not call. Anyway, he came by, and he slammed the door. He slammed the locker on Charles. Charles wheeled around, and he called him by name and pointed his finger and said, "Don't you ever touch me again as long as you live." And the other guy sort of laughed at him and went on. Well, we went out for a recess, and as we was going down the steps, this guy tripped Charles, and he fell. Charles didn't say a word. He just got up on his hands and knees and dove at his knees, knocked him to the ground, jumped up on him, put one knee on each arm, and started wailing, man. I mean, you know, the guy's a whole lot bigger than Charles. He was two grades behind. Now, I don't think they fail anybody anymore, but how many of you went to school when if you didn't pass, you failed? And so Mr. Thompson, I never forget this. I can still see it in my mind's eye. Mr. Thompson, he came out the door and he said, told all the some of the teachers started trying to break it out. He said, "If you don't want to see this, you go back inside. I've been looking for somebody." And Charles just wailed away on him. And, you know, after that, he still tried to intimidate people. He come by one day and he slammed my head, and I had a history book that was probably about like that and about like this. Anybody know how them history books, you know, is thick? I got that thing, I wheel like that, as hard as I could, and hit him right square in the back of the head. He went down to his knees. And I said, "Charles whipped you, and I will too, if you don't leave me alone." And he's cowed back. But do you know, even though a lot of the guys, they saw what happened, they saw what Charles did, they saw what I did, and yet he still intimidated them. He kicked their legs out from under them, did everything, because they wouldn't stand up to him They were still, some people are that way. The devil is bullying them, but they need to stand up with the Word of God and say, listen, you're defeated, and I'm going, every time you stick your head up, I'm going to knock the fire out of you. Now, that's good old Texas talk if y'all don't know what's mine. But he's the one that's behind everything that's going on. Because he is the God of this world. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, said that he's the God of this world. How did he get to be the God of this world? When that Adam sold us out in the Garden of Eden, when Adam sold us out, he gave the power to the enemy. Jesus came and died on the cross and restored it spiritually, but physically, we're still in the world. And we have to deal with the world. How do you do that? Well, you don't allow fear to grip your mind. That's what one of the main tactics that he uses is fear. But Paul tells us that we've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. He keeps coming at you, and he keeps coming at you, and he keeps coming at you to wear you down, so that you can't walk in victory. Now, you're not able to overcome him by yourself. We have to depend on Jesus Christ. Romans 8:37 in the NLT says, "No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us." Of course, the King James said, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors, him that loved us." The God's Word translation says, "The one who loves us gives us overwhelming victory in all of these difficulties." Overwhelming victory. So these verses let us know that Christ has already provided overwhelming victory. This is something that Christ has already done for us. The victory is already ours. We're talking about something that is an accomplished fact. Now, there's theories and there's fact. When the enemy attacks, we can be confident of victory. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. We can be confident of victory. Why? Because of Jesus. You know, we battle things in life, all kinds of situations, circumstances, but we need to realize that through Christ Jesus, we have already been declared the winning champion. I mean, we're destined to win. Look at your neighbor and say, "You're destined to win." Jesus has already gone before us, and he has won overwhelming victory. We might say it this way: he has already secured victory. You know, if you're pulling up to the dock in the boat and you tell somebody, say, "Hey, take that rope there and secure this boat." How do you do it? Well, you wrap it around that cleat and, you know, a certain way to do it. You secure it. Christ made it possible for us to win all of our battles. Now, you either believe it or you don't. Some of the world, I'm struggling. Sure, you're going to struggle, because as long as you're breathing, the enemy's going to come after you. He does not want you to enjoy the benefits of what this word tells us belongs to us. I want to read Romans 8:37 in the Rickard translation. Listen, in all these things, Jesus, our great leader, has established us as invincible champions through his amazing provision for us. Invincible champion. Man. Christ has said, because of what Christ did on Calvary, he says we are invisible champions. Invisible champions. He won the great fight. He won the victory. He was declared champion. He's undefeated. I played around. I never boxed in a regular boxing match ring, but I played around. My cousin did. He boxed in the Golden Gloves a couple of times. So I would mess around with him, spar around with him a little bit, because Uncle Dub had taught us how to fight. Me and George, he taught us how to fight. And he said, don't ever just aim to hit somebody on the nose. Aim for the back of their head through their nose. You'll hit harder. He also told us when we throw a punch, don't do it this way. Roll your shoulder into it. Also, when I throw this punch and I roll my shoulder like that, I got my chin protected from him, the other guy hitting me. So we were boxing in the PE class, physical ed class, and I'm messing around, dancing around, doing all kinds of crazy. And this guy caught me really good, and I reel back, and that they tell me, I don't know, they said, you come back. They said, he hit you. I don't know how many times, but you didn't even flinch. He said, you just kept hitting him till you knocked him out, you know. Well, that's what the devil did. The devil got knocked out. So now when he comes, that Jesus knocked him out already. He may give you a punch. You may reel back, but come back with the word of God coming out of your mouth and take him down. Christ has already established the victory for us. Now, we have been handed that victory. Established. Established gives us this idea. Recognized as a certain person or having a proven oneself in something. You're established. He's established, somebody says, in whatever. That means he's already a recognized, proven champion. Okay? Christ is the established, recognized, proven, all-time champion over every situation that comes your way. And he has given that victory to us. So actually, when we get into a situation, we're fighting the enemy with the word of God coming out of our mouth. That's the way we fight. We don't fight with fists. We fight with the word of God coming out of our mouth. That's the way we fight. But when we're in a battle, hey, it's already a fixed fight. Now, I know some of you, I'm going to spoil some, but some of you watch WWE, the World Wrestling Federation or whatever it is anyway, you know. Those are fixed fights. They know who's going to win before they ever get in the ring. Now, they put on a great show. And some people think it's real, but it's not. In fact, when I was, 14, I don't know, Dad took care of Brother Noah's church there in Dallas all summer while Brother Noah traveled with T.L. Osborne. There was this one guy, and he worked at the firehouse. He was a fireman. But he also went down to the sportatorium and he wrestled, on the side. And so he said, "Here, Ken, let me show you something." He said, after church, he was one of the ushers. He said, "Here, you do this," and I'd grab his arm and I did that, and he went flying over and landed on his back over there, you know. And he said, "So we did," we was out there and he was talking, and he sort of reached out and pushed me, and I grabbed his arm and I did this. He went over and I noticed that his feet hit first and his shoulders hit, and then he went on down on the ground. And everybody, "Oh, did you see that kid? He just threw that guy over his shoulder." And he is a grown man. I'm just a 14-year-old kid or 13. But you see, it's because it was already fixed. We had already rehearsed it. That's like, you know, you see the movies and where they're having a fight and they're not really fighting. That's fixed all the way, you know. Hey, Christ has already defeated Jesus and he's fixed it so that if we'll take what belongs to us from the Word of God, we're going to win. We're already winners. Come on. We need to see ourselves as winners. We need to see ourselves as unconquerable champions. It's what it says. You're more than a conqueror. See, the victory, it comes because you want to win. You know, 35 says, "Can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble, calamity, or persecution, hunger, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? As the scripture says, for our sakes, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us." Despite all these things. Paul is trying to tell us, you're going to have these troubles. These things are going to be there. They're going to be in your life. But despite all this, you have overwhelming victory, or you're more than conquerors in Christ. You know, despite all these things, New King James, all these things. What things are he talking about? He's talking about trouble, calamity, persecution, all what we just read there. That's what he's talking about. Are all these things that come our way as we live our life down here? Anybody ever had any of these things that I mentioned? Well, I got four people lifted their hand. I am so thankful that all the rest of you have never had any problems. Boy, I'm really glad. Praise the Lord. But I want to tell you, I've dealt with it. Building this campus, I dealt with it. If you've ever dealt with City Hall, you've dealt with it. That four-lane road out there and that red light out there, that was something else to get accomplished. Me and the city planner, we were all on the same page, but we had a city manager that was not on the same page, and we had all kinds of problems, but it's there. Sometimes you've got to just keep the Word of God coming out of your mouth and persevere. Yes, keep saying what the Word said. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I don't have any fear because I've not been given the spirit of fear, but I've been given the power of love and a sound mind. Come on now. Hello. Anybody getting anything out of this? Some people are waiting around for God to do something and make it better. Jesus has already done it. I don't know whether that's good English or not, but I'm going to say it anyway. See, You've got to look at the battle correctly, knowing that the enemy is going around all of the time trying to destroy you. He is after you all of the time. You got to recognize that fact. But then you got to be armed with the greater facts of God's word and walk in the victory that the word of God says you walk in. I don't care whether you see it. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care about any of that. I know my God is working. When I can't see it, when I don't feel it, God, the word of God is still working. And if I'll keep believing and if I'll keep confessing, he keeps working. The only time he stops working is when I quit confessing the word of God and saying what God said that we have. I have victory. I am a victor. I am a champion because of who I am in Christ. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. See, we've got to get a hold of that fact that we're in this world, but we're also in the spiritual world at the same time. We live in two worlds at the same time. We live in a natural world and we live in a spiritual world. We have to take the spiritual world and bring it into the natural world and change our circumstances. And y'all all know my saying, the natural and the supernatural working together make an explosive force for God. It's not all natural. It's not all supernatural. There's some things you got to do in the natural, and then you got to bring the supernatural over with it. And man, you got something going on. We're a two-track person. You know, like a train, it runs on two tracks. It can't run on one track. We have to operate on two tracks. We're a two-track person. People that are not even born again are a two-track person because they are a spirit. And the enemy, the devil himself, is a spirit. He's a spirit being. He's one of the spirit beings that got, he was an archangel in heaven. He got kicked out because he tried to go against God. And now he hates God and everything that belongs to God. He took a third of the angels with him when he tried to have a coup in heaven. And now he is down here on this earth working. But let me tell you what. God has already worked, and all of his working will amount to absolutely zero if I will confess the word of God out of my mouth continually. Glory to God. See, when you're in a sporting event or whatever in the natural, it depends upon how much you want to win. How many of you played sports in school, college, cool? Some of you may have even played professionally. I don't know. Y'all all know this story, but I ran in the state track meet in 1957 in Oregon, in high school. We were running the 880 relay. That's 880 yards. Now it's 800 meters or whatever it is. I don't know nothing about meters. All I know is yards. So, and so Dick took off and he ran the first leg. I was second leg. Usually I just would just hold my hand back and I just wait. I'd just wait on him. I hear he'd holler go and I'd take off and then we'd change and I'd do the same thing. Well, I knew he was getting close. I was looking back, you know, I was waiting on him. Finally, I looked back, and I saw him. He was coming at me, and he had this strained look. I mean, he had his mouth, his teeth clenched like this, and I could tell, he was struggling with everything he got, but he would not let up. He kept pushing. Finally, he handed off to me. I took off, and I know what he's like because just before I got to Lanky, that was our third man runner, And I began to see these black spots in front of my eyes, but I just kept gritting my teeth and I kept going. I popped that, and I had God to send to first place when I popped that baton into his hand, and I was on the inside lane and I just fell over on the grass. And I got up, and by that time Dick had came over where I was, and we stood there together and watched him lose everything we had, everything he and I had gained. Until he was in last place when he handed that baton off to Ben. And that blonde-headed, blue-eyed Swede, he gave it everything he had, but he couldn't make up all the ground. He couldn't do it. Three of us wanted to win, and we wanted to win bad. We had one man on our team that whenever he hit that point, he didn't push. He didn't keep pushing. He didn't keep going. And we lost because he didn't have that want to. He didn't have that want to. You know, if you're going to win, you got to have a want to. You know, I was listening to something on the TV, or I believe it was, or maybe it was radio, I don't know. Anyway, it was one of the sports stations, because that's about all I... If I'm at home, if I watch anything, it's be sports. And sometimes I'll turn on the sports channel on the radio, sometimes in the car. Most of the time I listen to music, good Christian music. But they were talking about somebody that they said, they're talking about a championship game, football game, and they said, we could tell from the first play that team wasn't going to win. They didn't have, they weren't putting it all on line. You could tell they didn't have the want to. You know, you got to remind yourself of what Jesus did for you. You got to keep reminding yourself of the promises of God. You can get to the point, you can give up and quit and still go to heaven. But I'm not going to give up on all the good things I can have down here and get on better things when I get up there. Some people always talk about by and by it's all going to be okay. Hey, God gave us a good life down here. I say it like this. God gave us a little bit of heaven down here to go to heaven in if we'll learn how to appropriate it for ourselves. Hello? You know, one time we was in the locker room at halftime. The coach come in there. He is disgusted at us. And he looked at all of us and he said, guys, how bad do y'all want to win? And we all said, well, we want to win, coach. We want to win, you know. He said, well, if you win, it's up to you. Make up your mind how bad you want to win. I'm going out here and watch the band. You guys, when it's time, you guys come out here and either come out ready to play and win or don't come out at all. Well, we got to talking among ourselves in the locker room, and we come flying out of that locker room, and we knocked the fire out of that other team that had been knocking us around. Why? Because he motivated us, and he got us to realize we got to want this if we're going to get it. Some people talk about, well, I want God to bless me, but they don't want God to bless them enough. They don't want to get in the fight. They don't want to, like one man said, they told him, said, just believe God, just confess the word of God, just tell the devil where to get off. And he said, oh no. He said, I'm bad enough off as it is. I don't need to antagonize the devil anymore. He wanted God to touch him, but not bad enough. Hey, I don't care how bad it is. I don't care what the devil's doing to you. Open your mouth and let the word of God come out. Let him know that you are a winner. Fight the good fight of faith. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. You win the battle when you decide to fight. Many people lose because they won't fight back. Oh, I got to walk in love. Well, wait a minute. There's such a thing as walking in love, but there's such a thing as being a doormat. There may not look like there's any reason for you to say anything or do anything in the natural. But you have to rise up and keep fighting. How do you fight? With the word of God coming out of your mouth. Using the name of Jesus. He said, up until now, you haven't asked anything in my name. Ask in my name, and my Father will give it to you. Why did he say that? He said that because when you say in the name of Jesus and the Father hears that, that is the same as Jesus himself saying to the Father, this is what I want. We sometimes don't realize the power in the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. You can't begin to say the name of Jesus over and over and over again without all of a sudden the whole atmosphere around begins to change. Sometimes you don't have time to call a prayer meeting. You don't have time to go on a fast. All you got time to do is holler Jesus. That's the power. That when you holler Jesus, that releases power. You know, if you're going to live in your destiny of winning, you got to learn how to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit besides saying the word of God out of your mouth. Besides believing and saying Jesus, you got to learn to follow the leading of the Spirit. And sometimes I've worked with people that they couldn't detect. You know, I told them, I said, wait a minute, is that the Spirit or is that what you want to do? When you decide to make a move, you make sure that it's in line with what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Come on now. I could talk a whole bunch more on that, but I'm going to go on down the road here. Another thing, if you're going to be destined to win, you got to stay connected to the local body, the local church. Yeah, you're a part of the body of Christ, the ecclesia, the whole church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then there are local churches. The Word of God tells us that we are to stay connected together with one another. When we come together in a place like this, there is power and it transfers. You know, especially in basketball, if you ever studied it, and most coaches do this, in the National Basketball League, they got a trophy for the sixth man. Now, there's five guys that start the game, but they got a trophy for the sixth man. That's somebody that comes off of the bench. And I got any people in here old enough to remember the old Boston Celtics with John Havlicek? John Havlicek won sixth man of the year, I don't know, 6 or 7 years in a row. I don't think John Havlicek, he came out of Ohio State, I believe. I don't think he ever started a game at Boston, but he come off of that bench. When I was playing basketball in high school, the coach said, Hagen, you're never going to start. And I said, why, coach? He said, because I need you to come off the bench, because when you come off the bench, you come on that floor hollering at everybody. You're pumping everybody up. You're getting everybody to go. That's the way I am. That's just the way I am. In fact, Brother Bill has played basketball with me, and he knows that I'm running down the court. I'm hollering at people and saying, come on, get it up. Come on, go. One time I was playing, and I mean, I was a lot older than most of them over there, and I'm running, and Tony Cook's going running down there, and he's huffing and puffing, and I look at him and I said, Tony, you're 20 years younger than me. Come on, get with it. And I just blew by him, you know. And it sparked him to get him going. But you see, that sixth man that came off the bench, he's a spark plug. He gets everything going. Hey, you need to be the spark plug that gets everything going. Come on now. Some people remain, like I said, some people lose because they don't ever fight back. They're silent. They can stay silent. When you're dealing with the enemy, you got to out-talk the devil. Any of you ever been in speech class and done debates? If you're going to win that debate, you got to out-talk your opponent. Am I right or wrong? You know, as a lot of people can get up and give a speech, but there's other people that can give a speech. There's some people just give out words, but there's some people when they give out those words, it connects with the audience. We need to get the word coming out of our mouth that connects with a right cross to the jaw of the devil and knock him out. Winning the battle requires verbal communication. And so I said, what are you talking about? Let me tell you what. I'll do it all the time. I stand in my office window and look out across this campus and I say, every need is met, Mr. Devil. You cannot stop what God has started here. It's not me, so get off of my shoulders. I'm not even going to worry about it because you're going to take care of it. God's going to take care of it, and you might as well go hide and watch because you're defeated right now. I've done that many times, standing in my... mine is the only office that has big windows over there in that building on the corner. I put them in when we first started because we didn't have anything but that building and half of the one behind it. There wasn't no trees. There wasn't nothing. I could look out over this whole campus. But now I can't see the whole campus, but I know what's here. I speak to it. I get in the car to drive some on a trip. And when I get in the car, I open the door. I say, I claim 91st Psalm over this car. I put the power of God, the blood of Jesus around this car. No harm shall come near it. Come on. Somebody say, well, I don't know about that. Hey, listen, if you want to live the good life, you better learn how to do that. There sits Cameron right there. Y'all know he drives a race car. I go up to him. He's sitting in there. He's getting ready to go out. I grab a hold of his hand, and I say, in the name of Jesus, I put the protecting power of God around this car. I claim the 91st Psalm on this car and over Cameron, and no harm shall come near him. Nothing shall happen to him, and he's fine. Don't Cam. This last race, a guy come up in front of him, and somehow I don't know how he did it. He hit the guy. He went high in the air, bounced, and kept on going. He should have wrecked. But I believe it's because I had one hand in his hand. I had the other hand on the top of that roll cage of that car. I believe it's because I spoke over that car. You say, well, that's natural. That's what we all need to learn to do. God is interested in us in the natural, and if we'll learn the word of God, we can live the good life. How many of you are ready to live the good life? Stand up with me right now. I'll preach long enough. Too long, I guess. Look at the clock. Oh, it's almost 11:30. All right. I want you to say this with me right now. Christ has won the victory for me. Christ's victory has now become my victory. Christ has gone ahead of me and fixed the fight so I win. No longer can Satan take me captive. I'm an established recognized, proven champion in Christ. I'm invincible, undefeatable, unconquerable champion in Christ Jesus. Now I have amazing victory. Now I'm an invincible champion in Christ. Now I have overwhelming victory in every situation of life. I win because Jesus has already won for me. Put your hands up and thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I asked them to get a song.
We are not going under. We're going over. In spite of what we sometimes see, hear, and feel. For the chief commander has already gone before us. We've already won before we get to the battlefield. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty
to God.
Of our warfare are not
I was putting this message together, and I said, man, that song will go with, and I got Dan to get it together. I didn't know Rich was going to be here, but good to have him up there to sing that other verse. Hallelujah. I love it, that song, because it said, we already won before we get to the battlefield. That's exactly what I've been talking about all morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, bow your heads for just a moment. I never like to have a service that I preach that I don't give a chance for somebody to find Jesus as their personal Savior, or somebody to rededicate their life to God. They know what it is to serve God, but they sort of veered off and got off track, and they need to come back and rededicate their life. Or an opportunity for somebody that says, I know I'm born of the Spirit, but I've never been filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. I'm talking about what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. All across this room, upstairs, downstairs, if you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life, you want to be filled with the Spirit, let me see your hand right now. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you, but I can't do that if I don't know who you are. So just raise your hand wherever you're at, anywhere in this room, anybody, anywhere. Oh, there's a hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody upstairs? Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm going to go right down here. If you raised your hand, I saw one person. There may have been more. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step on that aisle and come right down here so I can pray with you right now. And you won't leave here like you came. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, come on. Come on. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, come on. Come on. This is your opportunity to change forever. Hey, buddy. Hey, man. Bless you. I bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Anybody else want to join these? This is your chance to change your life forever. You're in the balcony. They'll help. The ushers will help you get down here. Come on. I'm going to wait just a moment. Come on. Thank you, Jesus.
How near or how far,
Jesus is waiting.
Jesus is waiting with open arms.
You that are standing here, look at me. I got three books in my hand. You see these three books I got in my hand? New Birth talks about being born again in Him, talks about who you are in Christ, some of the things I was talking about. This is S.Y. Tongues, talks about the Holy Spirit. If I said I was going to give these to you and I put them out here like this, what you got to do to get them? They're yours. You got them. They're yours. Every one of y'all going to get them same books in just a minute. That's an exercise I do. That I can give you a book, but I can't give you what you came for. It's spiritual. So I want you to raise one hand. Don't care which one it is toward heaven. Congregation, would you reach your hands out toward them as I pray with them? Heavenly Father, I thank you for every spiritual need in these lives being met today. Salvation, rededication, infilling of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Put your hands down and look at me for just a minute. See Brother Greg right there? Would y'all go with him to that place of where you can be prayed with individually and in depth? Get these books. Go right now there and hallelujah. Give them a hand as they go. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, it's going to be a great week. Come to every service you can. Come believing. Come expecting. Hallelujah. Let me see. I don't even know. Where am I going this time? I'm going west today. Okay? Staff, go to the door so we can shake hands with y'all. Let's see. Craig and me are south. East is Don and Denise and Bill and Tony. North is Tad and Amanda. So that's where we are. If you don't realize that, we rotate around. I go to all the lobbies so we can shake hands with you because everybody don't come at the same time. Hey, connection team, go find my first-time guest. We are so glad to have you with us. And if you're looking for a church home, why don't we say church? Yeah, come on and be a part of us. And go with these connection team members right out in that north lobby. Get a special gift. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock. God bless.
The weapons of our war.